Well, hello again. It is really good to be here. And it's such a privilege to have the opportunity to bring God's word for you today. So thank you to Craig and Donna for the opportunity. Now, who's got their Bibles? Get your Bibles out, get your phones out. We're people of the word. This is God's word. So let's get it out and dig in today. Now, for people who are exploring faith, and for anyone who wants to connect at a deeper level with Jesus, there's a couple of questions that tend to bubble up fairly regularly. One of them is, how can I tell if God is speaking to me? The other one is kind of like it, but it says, and if God's speaking to me, what is he saying? Has anyone asked any of those kind of questions? Is God speaking? How can I tell? Yeah, definitely. So hopefully today, as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to get some answers and get some insight into that. So yeah, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to work through this passage of Scripture together together today. Verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. The first question we ask ourselves when we look at this passage is very simply, who is Samuel? Like, Samuel had to be someone fairly important because there are actually two entire books of the Bible written about him. But when we see Samuel here, he's just a little boy. This is kind of early on in his life. And to get the introduction even to that. If we turn to 1 Samuel, so flick forward a couple, swipe a couple of screens, you know what I'm meaning, swiping the screens, or turn back a couple of pages to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we learn about his mother. And Hannah had been unable to have children, and each year she and her husband would make a pilgrimage to the temple at Shiloh. And one year she was praying, and the priest there, Eli, he saw her, he interceded for her, and she had a baby, and God answered her prayer. Now, in response to that, Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And when he was old enough, she took him back to the temple, just as she had promised. And there's some really beautiful little stories there, how each year she would make him a little coat because, you know, obviously he's a growing boy, and so he'd make him just a new outfit of clothes every year. But this is where we pick up the story we're at today. And it's thought that Samuel is 10 or 11 at the time, and so he's probably been serving at this temple here since he was like 4 or 5 years old. And we notice it talks about the spiritual climate here. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. This was a time of spiritual darkness. And I think in Australia 2019, we can identify with that. Did you know in 1986, the census, there was, what was the percentage here? I've got it in my notes, 12%. 12% of Australians in the 1986 census ticked the box that said no religion. 30 years later, in the 2016 census, that number had risen to 33%. That indicates there's an increasing number of Australians who are putting their flag in the sand and saying, you know what, this faith business, it doesn't mean anything to me. God is irrelevant. And you know what? That's almost as difficult, if not as difficult, to counter as blatant opposition. So I think we can identify with the spiritual darkness in our society. We move on then, verses 2 and 3. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. So Eli was the priest at the temple of Shiloh. He was the one who had prayed for Hannah to have a child. And there's a few other things we know about him. From 1 Samuel chapter 2, we discover that he was very old. we discover he had two adult sons who were also priests. But these adult sons of his, they were somewhat corrupt. And it seems that Samuel knew about their behaviour, but he wasn't challenging it. And it seems that he is just spiritually a little bit out of touch. We also see from these verses that it's nighttime. The lamp of God has not yet gone out. And both Eli and Samuel are sleeping. But notice where Samuel is sleeping. He's in the temple. He's near the ark of God. He's sleeping in close proximity to the very presence of God. And so another question then we ask ourselves is, well, what is this ark of God? What is this thing they're talking about? And we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant, and there's a little picture up there. The Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of God, it was a gold-covered box that God had instructed the Israelites to build while they were out in the desert. And the intent of this box was that this was where the presence of God would be. And there was very specific directions given as to what it would look like. It would be covered with gold. It would be covered with there would be angels' wings on top. And inside this ark, there was to be the Ten Commandments, some manna, and the staff of Aaron. And in the times then when Israel was in the desert, the ark containing the very presence of God was situated right in the middle of the camp. Anytime they moved, because you know how the Israelites, they did that wandering around in the desert thing, they would pick up the ark and they would carry it and it would lead the way. So this is very much symbolizing the presence of God. And this is where Samuel's sleeping. He's right near the ark of God. So here's the situation. Samuel, a boy who has been dedicated to serve God, he's sleeping in the very presence of God, but he's embedded within a society that is in spiritual darkness and under the guidance of a man who it seems has been a really good and faithful priest, but has perhaps become a little spiritually sluggish. And then in verses 4 to 10, we see the account of God calling Samuel. We see that he calls Samuel's name three times, and each time Samuel runs into Eli and, here I am, you called me. But there's a really interesting detail mentioned in verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Isn't it interesting that Samuel has been living in the temple, he's been sleeping near the presence of the Lord, he's been guided by the priest, and yet he doesn't know or recognize the voice of God. And you know, this verse and also the example of Eli, they're a heartbreaking reminder to us that our kids, church kids, don't automatically grow up knowing God. They can be in a Christian family, they can go to church, they can do all the church kids stuff. They can be embedded in church life, they can know all the right answers at Sunday school, but still not know God or recognize his voice. And it's not just children, it's adults. We can also come and every week sit here and kind of play the game, but really not know God, not recognize or hear his voice. But once Eli realizes what's happening, he tells Samuel, go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel goes back and he's waiting. And I can just imagine the anticipation. You know, him lying there, perhaps he's pulled the sheet up and he's having a bit of a wiggle thinking, okay, is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Is God going to call me again? I'm ready. I'm waiting and thinking something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And then the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. But notice something a little bit different this time. This time, when God calls Samuel, he calls his name twice. Samuel, Samuel. I think it's a bit like when your mum wants your attention and she uses your first name and your middle name. You know, when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, God called out to him, Abraham, Abraham. There's a sheep in the bush you can use. When God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, he says, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. It's holy ground. And now God is calling the boy Samuel to faithfully bring God's word to his people. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel's response at the guidance of Eli, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, you know, this is a really powerful prayer. It shows a desire to hear. It shows a willingness to listen and a heart that is ready to serve, a heart that's ready to obey. It shows a position of humility. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel's ready. He's waiting. He's anticipating that God would speak. And the truth that God speaks is a basic reality of biblical faith. The conspicuous feature in all this speaking is that God speaks to his people. God speaks. God, the creator of the world, speaks. And he speaks to us. He speaks to you. He speaks to me. He speaks to his people. Even before we know him, he speaks to us, drawing us to him. You know, Samuel did not yet know the voice of the Lord, and yet God is speaking to him. Because God desires to have that relationship with us. And the really beautiful thing is, he knows our name. He calls to us with a message for us. He tells us, I love you. I forgive you. I died for you. He says, you matter. He says, you know, I've got some gifts for you. The gift of salvation. But then he also has a calling. And he says, you know, I want you to come and follow me. I want you to be like me. You know, follow Jesus. He says, turn away from your spiritual darkness. Walk in the light of my presence. He calls us to serve him. And that service can be all kinds of things. But there's often, though, a calling, the voice of God saying, I want you to do something for me. Do a particular task. Engage in some kind of ministry. Do something. Be the person of God where you are. But in this passage, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see God speaks in an audible voice to Samuel. And sometimes God still speaks in an audible voice today. And there are probably some people in the room today who, if I said, all right, who can testify to this? You'd be able to stand up and say, you know what? At this time, God spoke to me and it was really powerful. I haven't heard the audible voice of God, but you know what? I know God speaks to me. But the question is then, so how does God speak today? How do we know this? And I've got a few things here, but I don't want to limit God by saying this is how God speaks. So these are some ideas, some thoughts. Firstly, I suggest that God speaks through his word. God speaks through scripture. And in reading his word, we learn about God. As we read the word, we read the story of Jesus, God becoming human and living among his people. How should we live? We should live like Jesus. How do we know about Jesus? We read his word. Through his word, God gives guidance and instruction about all kinds of human experiences. God speaks into the questions we have about relationships, of doubt, of depression, and overcoming all kinds of obstacles. The word of God speaks. There are answers in his word. And sometimes God uses his word to speak into a particular situation in our lives. Dion and I, as we said earlier, actually I didn't say that, but we lived in America for 12 and a half years before we came to Brisbane. And, you know, I wanted to come home. I really wanted to raise my children here in Australia. And so we told the Salvation Army people, we said, you know, we'd like to go to Australia, thanks. And it was like, no, not yet. You, one day, maybe, one day. And I got kind of a little bit discouraged about this. And one day, as I was doing my devotions, and you know how often when you're following a little book or something, you have a particular passage assigned for the day. The passage this day, when it was just really something heavy on my heart, was Jeremiah chapter 29. And often when we're reading Jeremiah 29, we jump immediately to verse 11, which talks about God having plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans for a hope and a future. And we think that's great. But you know what? I didn't even get that far that day, because Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 to 10, absolutely grabbed me. Because in those verses, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, is giving God's word to the people who are exiled in Babylon. And his word for them is, settle in, build your houses, plant your vineyards, have kids, get married, other order. And he says, and pray for the peace and prosperity of the city. And then, at the right time, I'll bring you home. And I tell you what, I think that is probably the most, the clearest that God has ever spoken to me, because it was very much the cry of my heart. And it was God saying, right now, you need to settle in. And when the time is right, I'll bring you home. God speaks to us through his word. He also speaks through nature. You know, how many of us have seen the sunrise over the ocean and absolutely been floored by the goodness of God, of our Creator? And you're kind of standing there and all of a sudden your heart just, you know, you break out into worship thinking, the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, and I've got more than 10,000 reasons to praise the Lord. Nature speaks to us. It grabs us in a way that is really special. God also speaks through other people, because, you know, without the wisdom and the guidance of Eli, Samuel may have completely missed God's calling. And sometimes we need someone else to help us clarify what God is saying to us. You know, we've got questions and we read the Bible and we're praying and we're just not kind of getting the answers. Ever had that kind of experience where you've got a question and you're not getting answers and you're struggling with that, and then all of a sudden, without actually even mentioning it, someone else comes up and speaks into your life. And that's God speaking. But I ask a question, do you have people in your life who you can have some really honest faith discussions with? And if not, there is a whole bunch of people here who can help. Because just that ability to, opportunity to bounce off your ideas and your thoughts, it allows God to us to get a sense of, okay, is this God? And that confirmation of that. God also speaks through music, through the arts. You know, I think of the number of times we've sung, and you may be kind of sitting there and just maybe not all that excited about being in the presence of God, in the house of God, and it's been a long morning, a tough morning, and you take a deep breath and suddenly you realize that the words that are being sung about are talking about the goodness and the greatness and the faithfulness of God, and you click in. Because music does something to stir our soul, doesn't it? God can speak through music, through the arts, through poetry. We often hear God speak also through silence. Be still and know that I am God. You know, when we intentionally sit and listen and anticipate that God is speaking, we have a much better chance of hearing his words for us than when we're bouncing from one activity to the next. And I'd like to just say as well that sometimes we're getting the same kind of message from a number of different places and different people, right? We're reading something in Scripture, and then someone mentions us to it, and then the same idea comes up in a song. Can I just say that they're not coincidences, right? That's God speaking. So pay attention. God is constantly speaking to us, but we often miss it. Sometimes we're just simply distracted. Sometimes God's voice is drowned out by noise and by other activity. Sometimes we think it's something else, like Samuel thinking, this is just Eli calling me, and we completely miss it there. And sometimes we're so busy working for God that we miss the moments of intentional listening. And I think that's one of the really beautiful things about being part of a church fellowship, because worshiping together and sharing with other believers can help us understand and clarify God's voice. Worship spaces and church services offer a focused time to come and to be very intentionally in the presence of God. So just a couple of key takeaways. God speaks. God speaks to you. God speaks to me. He speaks to all of us. God speaks. And Samuel was really young when God spoke to him. Don't ignore the idea that God doesn't use children to accomplish his purposes. By the same token, just as we can't say, well, God isn't using children to accomplish his purposes, we can't say, God doesn't speak to me because I'm too old, I'm too busy, I'm too broken. God speaks. God speaks to all of us. God speaks to everyone. Sometimes we're just not listening. But this morning, we're going to take a couple of moments to really very intentionally pause and listen to what God is saying to us right now. And I'd like to invite the worship team to come up. God may have words of encouragement for us, words of love, words of rebuke, words of forgiveness. Perhaps the words he's got for you today may be a call to action, a call to follow, a call to do something specific. Maybe there's this sense of unease in your life and you're kind of thinking, Lord, is that you speaking? And kind of press into that uncomfortableness. Perhaps his call to you is just to clear some space and some mental clutter in your life so that you can hear him more easily. Perhaps God is saying, you know, maybe you need to identify an Eli in your life, someone who can help you find and understand the voice of God. Samuel prayed an incredibly bold prayer. Speak, Lord, I am listening. And I suggest that this is our prayer today. Corporately, individually, let us say, speak, Lord. I'm listening. I'm listening for you. I'm just going to read the words of an old hymn as a prayer. And then the team is going to lead us in a time of reflection. And as they do, I would encourage you just take some time and listen. Listen really intentionally. Lord, what are you saying to me today? Clear the space. Clear your head. Clear your heart. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. I'm waiting. I'm anticipating. Master, speak. Your servant heareth. Waiting for your gracious word. Longing for your voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What have you to say to me? Speak to me by name, O Master. Let me know it is to me. Speak that I may follow faster, with a step more firm and free, where the shepherd leads the flock in the shadow of the rock. Master, speak and make me ready when your voice is truly heard, with obedience glad and steady, still to follow every word. I am listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak. Oh, speak to me.